frozen halfway to gaping mouths. All eyes turned to look at the redhead. A young woman that sat next to Schnickel spoke.
Straub comes and goes when he wants, Audi. He's not one of us. Not with us, so to speak.
Not against us, Madge. Straub's not against us, is he?
Oh, no. No, he's triple not against us. Then again, Schnickel, you can't sort of say he's with us.
Well, you know how it is. Straub comes and goes when he wants.
I said that.
No, you did, Madge. No, you did. I was agreeing with you. You, Audi. Straub's his own man. Trades in a special way. I reckon that you and the white-headed boy, Jack, will interest him a lot.
Why me and Jack in particular?
He can tell you that for himself. Likes to speak his own words to Straub.
I look forward to hearing him. Hope he isn't going to keep us waiting too long.
The waiting is over, lady. I'm Straub.
Straub walked into the circle of light from the nearest of the fires, bowing slightly to the visitors. He was slimly built, a little over 6 feet, around 50, with a shaved head that glistened and reflected the orange flames. There was a large opal in his right ear, and a gold tooth glittered at the front of his mouth. He had unusual eyes. They were so dark a brown they seemed to be almost black, with tiny flecks of silver whirling in them. Straub wore a black shirt and black jeans with silver rivets. A silver snake was embroidered around his black western boots, and a necklace of raw turquoise hung around his neck. He didn't appear to be armed. He walked slowly around the main table, pausing to shake hands with each of the outlanders. His clasp was surprisingly strong, his eyes staring intently into Ryan's face.
Good to have such a large and well-armed party along with us.
For an odd moment, Ryan felt slightly sick. The food in his mouth tasted of bitter ashes, and he nearly spat it out in the trampled dirt beneath the table. Suddenly, it felt like a spell had broken. Christy was next along.
Ah, the woman with the most wonderful hair of fire in all Deathlands. It is truly an honor to meet with you.
He stooped and kissed her hand. He paused and paid particular attention to Jack.
A pure albino. Forgive my using the word, won't you, young man?
Why, that's what I am.
Straub touched the great mane of Jack's stark white hair, running his fingers through it and holding the silken strands so that they caught the reflected light from the fire.
Magical. Ah, truly magical. So fine and so long.
I bet you say that to all the boys.
Straub crouched and looked into Mildred's eyes.
You know about medicine. Now how can that be? I see knowledge that...
He straightened, his brow furrowed.
That I don't understand.
Mildred saw sudden danger from this strange man, and she quickly changed the subject.
But you don't think very much of my hair.
I like the beading, Mildred Wyeth, but the hair itself is, forgive me, common.
Oh, I forgive you.
Whereas both Christy and Jack have absolutely wonderful hair, among the most rare I've seen, and I do know what I'm talking about.
You don't spend all your time with these people?
Straub looked at Traitor. He ignored the question and asked one of his own.
The suffering has become less over the last 2 or 3 years, hasn't it?
That comes under the heading of my fucking business, not yours.
Are you a seer, Straub? You can see things about people?
Sometimes, young man. Both Mildred and the venerable Doc have shades to their auras like none I've known. And Christy also. Oh, but time is wasting and the food is getting cold.
Ryan felt as though a load had been removed from his shoulders. There had been the bizarre sensation of countless ghostly fingers probing inside his skull, as though they were searching through a cobwebbed attic in an ancient mansion for something valuable, long hidden. Straub went and sat at the head of the table beside Schnickel, the two men immediately becoming deeply involved in conversation. Christy leaned toward Ryan.
One to watch, lover.
Yeah. Felt like he was looking inside me.
He was. Dean was right. Man's a seer. And I think he was also trying us all out as subjects for hypnotism.
Hypnotism? No way.
Ryan hadn't realized that he'd raised his voice until he looked up from his plate to see those dark, silvery eyes staring intently at him, the pale lips breaking into a smile.
I know there's something double weird about Straub.
You felt it, lover. I did. We all must have done. It's dangerous not to accept the threat. That way he might be able to gain control over one or more of our minds.
All right. I did feel something happening. You reckon he has that power?
I know it. Straub's one of the most lethal men I ever met.
But there was no more threat. The reverse was true, with everyone showing friendliness to the strangers. The food, despite the poor cooking, put down a layer between backbone and belly, and the nine companions did justice to the meal. Three of the women stood during the supper.
Oh, take me back to Hammond Town, where the grass is green and never brown, where children are well fed and round, where happiness is forever. Take me back to Hammondville, where the sparrows sing and ducks all trill, clear skies and the water still, where happiness was and always will.
A little something I wrote myself long ago.
I don't know, John. That sounded familiar. I don't think he wrote it.
Straub was looking at Mildred. She felt herself flushing, almost as if he could hear her words or read them out of the center of her mind. Schnickel banged on the table with the hilt of his hunting knife.
Friends! Straub here has been telling me the results of your successful hunting, some of which has delighted us all tonight.
Ryan leaned back on the bench, feeling the chill of dusk on his skin, and gazed up into the sable sky. The evening star had been glowing brightly for some time, now accompanied by the first pinpricks of light from countless other stars. The makeshift camp was like hundreds of others Ryan had seen over the years. They were often used as hideouts by wolf's heads, men and women who lived outside the law, often running with a blood price on their heads. It had been no surprise to learn that Schnickel and his people were planning to usurp power from Baron Wayman. It was a common enough tale, told around 1,000 campfires.
The Baron's weak. His vale's vulnerable to a few brave men. We can sit where he sits, rule where he rules, become powerful as he was powerful.
The number of times that Ryan had heard of gangs of brushwood people succeeding in toppling a Baron in the past 20 years could be counted on the fingers of both hands. But it did happen. It depended on what kind of man Wayman was and how he'd organized his sect force. Trader had a saying about a Baron being as good as his sect boss, and that was true. Ryan recalled the infamous Vale of Moxon, the Baron Jordan Teague, who'd once held Doc Tanner prisoner, and his notorious sect boss, Court Strasser. There was something about the man Straub that reminded Ryan of Court Strasser, a chilling coldness, and more than a hint of a bitterly ruthless streak, buried shallowly beneath the quiet, self-possessed exterior.
Baron Half a Man is what I call him. And our good comrade Straub, he's also done a little more work toward our big plan. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Meeting of all fighting men an hour after first food.
It was obvious that the evening was breaking up. Ryan welcomed the chance to get an early night in their own tent and stood.
Thanks for your hospitality.
Schnickel looked surprised, leaning down as Straub tugged at his sleeve. He listened to a few hasty whispered words, then straightened again.
Not quite yet, Ryan Carter. We would like a few more minutes of your time. Just Straub and myself, just you, and perhaps one of your friends.
Sure. JB, hang around. Rest of you go to the tents. Be careful.
Christy squeezed Ryan's arm as she stood and eased herself past him.
Don't turn your back on Straub, lover. Not for a second.
The shaved head was tilted toward Christy as she walked out of the circle of firelight, Jack close behind her, the two heads of miraculous hair in stark contrast, the fire ruby and the moonstone.
Oh, wonderful.
What?
The hair, my friend. The hair. Just what's your interest in hair?
Straub's long, pale fingers were toying with a chunky necklace of turquoise.
I have many interests out there.